I'm just really big on purpose, in life, and understanding that we all have a role here to get things done for ourselves, be successful in our own right. But I think our biggest purpose is just helping others.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now, here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And I'm very happy to have Corey Caudill and Wordsmith. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, gentlemen. How are you both doing?
Doing good. Always a pleasure to be on a show where you're talking about being a great dad and just fatherhood and taking that journey.
Love it.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thanks for having us. For folks tuning in, I'm actually a few minutes late because I'm operating on a different time zone and I had the kids mid-lunch. So you're getting me, my two kids, and a little bit of Blippi in the background here.
This is perfect, man. And if kids, you know, interrupt the show, it's all good because this is a podcast about fatherhood. So we love it, man. And I love the fact you guys are great dads. We're going to get to that right away. But we're also going to talk about the concert for Human Family, which you guys have done together. We're going to talk about, you know, your creative process and all that good stuff. So first, Word, let me chat with you first. Talk a little bit about your fatherhood journey. I love the fact that you might have a different fatherhood journey than some other people, but, you know, I love hearing everybody's story. So when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, wow. Well, big question. You know what I mean? I became a dad. You know, it was unexpected, which happens to a lot of us, but mine was more unexpected on the side of my oldest son and my first child is adopted. So I had an opportunity and still have an opportunity, you know, to this day to be a dad to a child that really needed one. And from day one, I've been able to be in my son's life and he started living with me full time at 6 years old and he's 18 now. So he's reaching towards manhood and starting to walk over that bridge into, you know, real life and having to make real life decisions. So I also have a 10-year-old son who's my blood child. He goes by the name of Kingston. My oldest name is Ezekiel. And so I have an age gap there and I constantly, it's been a war of living in two different worlds, I would say, because while my oldest, I was talking to him about sex and talking to him about saving money, opening up bank accounts and being focused on school and working towards college, I'm playing kids games with my youngest one and bottles in the mouth and having to do everything for him. So it's always this not a weird dynamic, but this dynamic of, you know, let me take a deep breath. Let me understand, you know, the question you're asking me at this point in your life where you're at as a 10-year-old, whereas you're 18, you're asking me something that's more on an adult level. I can't talk to you like a child. So I just have this constant, I would say, ebb and flow, you know, and back and forth of my child, you know, my children going through, I would say, their lives and the changes, you know, and so forth that they're going through.
Word, I love that just because, like, you have the awareness that there's going to be different topics. You're juggling both different, you know, sets of ages and all that. So that, to me, just shows that you're a spot on dad and you're in it, man. You're in it to win it because you see that. And I just think having those conversations and also too, let me just say kudos to you about talking to your kids, especially your oldest, about checking account, savings account and money. Because my parents did the same thing. You got like a credit card in high school. I'm like, why do I need a credit card? Just so you learn how to use it, right? And all that. I think certain life skills maybe go on the underpass because we don't like sometimes like, they'll know how to do this. But the fact that you're doing that right there, especially at his age, is fantastic. Corey, for you, talk a little bit about your father journey. When you found out you're going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Well, thank you. First off, I'm lucky because Reward and I work so close together. He's always got the whole, well, why do you get to this point? You got this coming down the line. And
he's your Jedi master, right? You're the Padawan. He's the Jedi master. Obviously, you guys can see the background. I'm a Star Wars geek, so that's why I'm going to use that analogy.
he was at the house for the first time. He stayed the night a couple of weeks ago. And within 5 minutes, my kids were listening to him way better than they listened to me. So it's just, for us, it was a different journey. We had Annalie after a miscarriage on the first go around. So we obviously had we felt very fortunate. And I'm in a really fortunate position because my wife is, she was made for this. Like, being a mother is just, she's the best on the planet at that. And she's a professional, she's a speech language pathologist, but I get a wake up and everything is kind of laid out. Like, if it were up to me to do the stuff she were doing, I don't know that my kids would, how they would be or if they would be. So For us, we go to bed every night and we tell each other how thankful we are that we're able to do this as a team, because it's difficult enough to have all the resources we have, like to live in America where we have everything we'd ever need to be able to raise a family good and to have each other, and to work so closely with Word and see that he took that upon himself to play both roles and do it so well. It is one of the most admirable things I can think of.
Yeah, no doubt. And sorry about the miscarriage. I've talked to many dads on my podcast and they've gone through something similar, or, you know, had a miscarriage, and it's tough. But if you just to share that, and, you know, you and your wife are like, let's just keep on trying to have kids. And like you said, you got two great kids. So happy to hear that. But again, thank you for sharing that. Before we started recording, we were just talking about the things that we try to instill in our kids, values and paying it forward and giving back to the community. If people know you and know your story, you know you're doing that as well, twofold, especially with you. One of the reasons why I brought you guys on here was talk about the Concert for the Human Family, and you guys are looking to, you know, raise awareness and help out communities and all that good stuff. But what are some of the other core values besides paying it forward and hard work, Word, that you like to share that you've been teaching your kids?
I'm very honest with my kids. You know, as much as Corey has said about me, I look at Corey with envy, you know, with his family, because that's the way things are supposed to be done. And I've had many conversations with my kids where I told them that as many ways that I want you to, you know, follow my lead or me to be a great example for you, I would say be better than I was as far as the family structure. You know, I wish my kids had mother and father in the same household. You know, so when I stayed with Corey, it's beautiful to see that and see that they're both raising their kids. And that's what their kids will know, is that family structure, where on my side, I'm trying to really, you know, push and encourage that, hey, you know, get married before you have kids, really find someone that you're super compatible with, that you can really see yourself being with for long term. You know, don't follow in my mistakes or the decisions that I made. You know, that's the lesson with me is, you know, don't follow my ways, you know, because if I had it my way, my kids would have myself and a significant other in the household, you know, both teaching them. So that's always a lesson that I'm always pushing them, encouraging them with. And then other than that, I'm just really big on purpose in life and understanding that we all have a role here to get things done for ourselves, be successful in our own right. But I think our biggest purpose is just helping others, you know, and Corey and I have been able to connect over family, but also our love for helping one another the same way I can help him with something. He can help me with something, whether it's musical, or he'll tell you, I'm always hitting him up about, man, how do you stay married? How do you find just one woman? And, you know, just asking real life advice, because I don't have that part of my soul where I can settle down. So it's nice to just have people you can really bounce stuff off of and get genuine answers, you know?
Love that. And also, too, just showing your sons, you said you're honest with them and all that, and having the fact that, like, you're going to look elsewhere with people that you trust and friends and family being like, hey, how do you get through this? Or what's your take on this? And showing that, hey, sons, like, if I don't know the answers, I'm going to go with people that I respect and look for those answers for, right? So that's another, I think, a great lesson. And for you, Corey, talk a little bit about some of the things that you're looking to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
Yeah, I've learned a lot in regards to what Wordsmith is talking about. I've learned a lot in as far as appreciating the village that it takes and the people that were around, the people that I learned how to navigate this whole thing with. And everybody does it their own way, and there's really no right or wrong answers. But in regards to the main things I want to teach my kids, I go back to a conversation that I saw. Jim, I used to play music for a cat named Justin Moore. Amanda and I were out on the road, and his oldest daughter was out. We all went to a movie, and we're walking out of the movie, and she's getting a little fussy or something, and Justin stops her, and he looks her dead in the eye and has her attention. He says, listen, not every little girl gets to do these kind of things. You need to be appreciative, and beyond that, you need to carry yourself in a way that makes the world better for other little girls and boys to have these kind of opportunities. So I want mine to have all the character traits needed to make their life good, but also the world a better place for the people that don't have the start at it that they do. So I want them to know empathy and love and all those things. Because you can be the strongest people that I know, the strongest men in my life, were the most gentle and the most considerate and compassionate and caring people. And I think they need to know in today's day and age with all the stuff they're exposed to that that's the right way to go about it. You strength and all that stuff comes after you start with loving everybody.
Great answer. Yeah, I love both of your responses and the fact that, you know, we want to be caring for others, but we also want to know our surroundings, what we're, you know, thankful for. I think this time of year, especially with the past 2 years with the pandemic and everything that's going on, you realize what's really important. And I know it sounds cliche, and it's like when they say like a baby changes everything and all that other stuff, but there's a reason why people say that, and there's a reason why, you know, you should be – it's the small things in life and the things that are free that make the world go round. Corey, let's just stick with you with this one, and then Word, you can follow his response. What is something that your kids have taught you about life or yourself in general? Something that maybe you didn't think about, you know, until you became a dad. Like for me, like I learned that, man, like the teachers who are doing it right, they've got all the patience in the world. I've got two kids. There's a class of 20 or 30, or depending on what kind of classroom size it is. Like the patience that they must be exerting every day is like superhuman. So for you, so like I just realized, like I gotta have patience, and I gotta learn not just patience for myself, but understanding that a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old learning to tie their shoes was not gonna get it right away because I didn't get it right away. So patience was something that like I learned that I needed to grow even more as a dad. For you guys, Corey, you can go first.
Yeah, that's a great point. That applies to everything, even in your profession. There might be some things that click with you. And if you hold everybody to your standards, you're not going to communicate well with people. So looking at the kids and saying, hang on a second, they're two. Like, why am I frustrated that they're not tying their shoe right now? I've definitely learned how to apply that in ways that I connect with everybody around me, because they probably feel the same with me. I know Word has to be. He's shaking his head at half the stuff I'm doing all the time and just going, come on. And then he goes, well, hang on a second. He's a hillbilly. For me, one of the biggest things that I got was when we brought Annalie into the world, I had a big kind of reckoning with what the world in our country was in 2018 for women. And I was always raised to approach everybody with the same amount of respect and equality and love and everything. But oh my gosh, having seen the things that Amanda went through during childbirth and immediately after childbirth, like emergency C-sections and get cut on, pulled on, tugged on, sent out of the hospital 2 days later and said, go keep this thing alive. And I got to go out on the road and tour. Women ought to be running the world. They're a lot stronger than us, than myself, than all that. And one of the things my kid has taught me is to value the strength of the people who brought them into the world, of their mom, and the value of people who I keep pointing to Wordsmith a lot, but like Amanda and Wordsmith, I'll call and say, how's it going? How's your day? And I get their day is probably so chaotic and unbelievably just pulled and tugged every direction, dealing with this and that, and they're happy, and they're pleasant, and they're positive, and their outlook is positive, and they're motivated and driven and energetic, and they have every reason to feel dragged down. So my kids really highlighted the strength of the people who raised them around.
Love it. How about you, Word?
I would say my kids probably just taught me the main thing they want is just safety and protection. And I think that's just what a lot of kids want at the end of the day, is just know that they have a safe home, have parents that love them, know if they have an issue, they have someone they can go to talk about it or to get rescued from that situation. And I'm not meaning just as a little kid, you know, I'm dealing with someone who's pretty much an adult now, and it doesn't change. You know, he still just wants to know he has protection and safety and that someone has his back. Because he doesn't have that full family structure and we have discussions, you know, that comes up a lot with my oldest son. He's just like, man, dad, I'm just glad I have you here. You know, I'm just glad I have someone that I know if anything, if I'm going to fall one day, you're going to catch me, you know, and it's good to just know that you got those type of people, whether it's a dad, a mom, a good friend, shoot, a stranger that comes into your life that shows you their, you know, gonna look out for you. You know, I just learned that's the main thing kids want. You could be 1,000 miles away, but as long as they know they're secure, protected, and that parent has got them and they're coming back, kids are gonna just play and have a good time, man, and go around, you know, go about their life.
No doubt, man. Yeah, I remember chatting with a few people on this podcast before, and they said, you know, similar things that you've said, Word. And I always retort back, it's like kids want that security blanket, and we're their security blanket, right? Like we got their back. So I love it. One more question about Father, and then we're going into the great work you guys do, of course, with music and all that. Word, what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads? And I know I love the fact that Corey, you know, looks to you for help, and I love it so. But it could be at any age. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that, you know, when they're having a baby or whatever the case may be. But it could be someone who has a teenager or going to have a teenager, or it could be a dad hack, something that you like. This is in my dad hack arsenal. Like for me, I always say about a dad hack is like when you're with a, you know, a toddler or a baby who's still in diapers. When you come back home and that diaper bag, restock that diaper bag once you get home. After everybody's all good, you want to make sure, because if you forget and you go out the next day and you're like, oh man, we don't have a diaper. I remember we were living in Jersey at the time, and I had to go to a few couple like bodega shops to like find Pampers because we ran out of diapers and we're at this museum. So if you want to like share a piece of advice or a dad hack, feel free, Word.
Oh man. Well, I would say this is a piece of advice.
Okay.
Definitely not a hack, but a real life piece of advice is that a child can come at an unexpected time, which is normally what happens. It's, you know, some of us get to plan it, but at an unexpected time. And I think you got a choice when that happens is wherever you're at in your point in life, say you're young and maybe you're in college, or say you're in the middle of really moving up in your career, you can do two things. You can let your dream die and just say, hey, I've had kids, so this is all I can be about. Or you can set that example and let your kids be a motivating factor for you to continue on with your dreams and press forward. And I myself, what Corey's doing is we've chose the path of music is our love, it's our passion, our dream. We want to set the example for our kids and go, hey, yeah, we're taking care of you. We want to make sure you're protected and safe and have everything you need. But also within doing this, we're doing an unspoken example of continuing to following our passion. So when kids get older, all they're gonna say is, man, my dad was always doing music. He was always at the piano. He was always recording. He's always doing shows. Even if they don't remember all the music, they're gonna always remember, man, he was always doing something involved in music. So I know for a fact that's what you loved all your life, because that's all I saw you doing. And it instills this in their mind that, man, I saw my parent go X and X amount of years pushing hard at his passion, and he was able to live off of it and make X and X amount of money and be happy. So I know if I follow that, I would say that blueprint, not path, because everybody's path is different, but kind of that blueprint of let me continue my dream no matter what happens in my life, no matter what pitfall comes, whether you know I lose a job or I lose a love in my life, gotta press forward. You can't allow those things to just literally drag you down just because something bad happens in your life, because it won't be the last. So that's just my advice, is just when you have kids, don't make it feel like you got to put all the things you love on the back burner and never go back and reclaim it.
Perfect answer. I love that. What about you, Corey?
I think with one of the, first off, I've got no hacks. I'm the guy who Googles dad hacks. But as far as some advice, it would be that with all the information that we have access to and all the things. And if you are a dad, Lord knows what's going to pop up for ads in your timeline. Everybody's telling you how to do it. And what I've learned and always appreciated is that, yeah, there's good information out there, bad information. Certain people do it a certain way, but it's okay to do things your way. You know, I read all the expected dad books and all the stuff, and those things are cool and apply them as needed, but your connection with your kid is unique to you and your kids. And it's okay for y'all to find your own path on that.
Perfect. Well, both answers are great. And again, like you said, Word, it shows to your kids that I care about you, I love you, but I'm also going to try and follow my passion and still do my music or whatever you're into. And like you said, everyone's path is going to be different. And then for you, Corey, I think you especially live in a social media world, instead of keeping up with the Joneses, you're keeping up with all the Joneses, right? Like, oh, what are they doing? And like, oh, that looks like a picture perfect family photo. But you know, before or after that photo was taken, people had the waterworks, people were crying, smile this way, you're smiling, don't hit your sister, what are you doing? That's not captured, right? So the fact that you have to do it your own way and don't feel like you have to keep up with all the Joneses is perfect. So I appreciate that. Corey, you can go first in word. You can follow music, like I was mentioned, Concert for the Human Family. Love the fact that, again, you guys are not only talking the talk, but walking the walk with especially events like this. Talk about how this came to be and your inspiration for it.
Oh, this has been the highlight of my career. It's been the so we started as Wordsmith will attest it. There's so many layers to it that I have a hard time giving a Cliff Notes version. But the quick version is it started as a joint venture with myself and my company with the main offices of the Episcopal Church, because they were looking at rejuvenating some of these beautiful spaces that they own. St. Bart's Cathedral in Manhattan, Trinity Wall Street, the National Cathedral in D.C. They were saying, well, what if these spaces were open to people from all belief backgrounds, just for music, just a concert, everybody from every political belief system, they all come into this space and hear music. That's what it sounds like when dads come up on Blippi. So, sorry.
And, it's all good, man.
So we started designing that series, and in the process, I reached out to Wordsmith, who I was a fan of. We had met at a concert, and I asked him if he'd like to guest appear on one of the songs. And in the middle of all that, 2020 kept being 2020, kept evolving into from pandemic to George Floyd's murder to all these things. And a gentleman that I work with stopped me, and he said, listen, this is a very broad thing, but right now Wordsmith ought to have the podium on this thing. He says things in a way that the world needs to hear. He's got a way of communicating with people and telling these stories, and you ought to, this is the moment for you guys right now. And so we took all of that, and we started making a record, just Wordsmith and I, and it was a really, really special thing. And I learned a lot from it, but I think our main goal was to look at it and say, okay, we were doing this project and we made a record and we were working on music together because we're fans of each other and we just like making music together. But all of a sudden, the world made it relevant that he was black and I was white. So now our goal is shifted from, let's do this cool concert series and these beautiful spaces in partnership with all that, to, okay, let's do this concert series. Let's make this music in a way that if our kids want to make a record together, nobody even mentions what color they are. It's not, it doesn't mean that.
And that's so true. Just the idea like, oh, what, someone's black, someone's like, just listen to the music first. We're going to talk a little bit about your view on how this whole set up.
I just think it was definitely, meant to be. We were definitely meant to connect. You know, the path I was already on musically already had a lot to do with, trying to impact different cultures, different people. I would say putting different opinions out there, having different discussions. A lot of my music is just about relatable topics in everyday life of blue collar people. So meeting Corey and having a similar background with that, it was finding a match who could, I would say bring those two things together, because I'm always searching for people to work with that I think share the same thing that's in my heart, which is to help others and just be passionate about what the future of this world is going to look like. So how do you talk about these things and how do you put these things, on wax into music, and how do you find people that share that common bond? Well, there's billions of people in the world. You know what I mean? That person to make that happen could be in Japan somewhere, Australia somewhere, and we just lucky enough happened to be in Georgia at the same time, at the same concert, to where our paths were supposed to interchange, and it did that night. So coming on, I just feel that I'm able to lend, I would say, the storytelling structure to what Corey wants to do. Because at the end of the day, this is Corey's vision and his baby. And I just feel I'm coming in and really being able to tell the stories that he wants to tell and some of the stories that I want to tell, and put out into the world so we can just have that conversation. But I like the way Corey always puts it, make music, and I would say make timeless genre music that doesn't have any genre base. So our kids in the future, could be like, can make music together. It doesn't matter you're white, I'm black, or any of that stuff. You're not even looking at any of that.
Yeah.
It's just, let's make a good song. Let's make good music. Let's put something out there that will impact others like our dads did, So that's what we're trying to go with it.
Appreciate that. And word, continuing with you, and then Corey, you can follow up. Talk about, as a comic book geek, I love the origin story. I love like how you came down a certain path. What got you into music as your passion and led you down the road of working in the music industry?
I was just very musical as a kid. It was something my mother, you know, noticed that I kept trying to push it aside because I love sports. I was big with football and I was able to get a scholarship to Morgan State and play a little bit of college football while I had this talent for writing music, you know, and even acting. And my mother just kind of stayed in my ear, and it got to this point where I tore my meniscus pretty bad in college and played on it the whole season. It went from me being out 3 to 4 months to they was like, you're out for the whole next season. So I was already in my junior year and I had to make a decision at that time. You know, what am I going to do next? I hadn't really had done much else in my life that I would say I would validate besides playing sports and just trying to be a good person, you know? So I really leaned back my mother's advice and just went into the entertainment field, not just with music, but with theater, you know, with acting and so forth. And just in that, I discovered myself and I just kind of saw that, you know, if I'm going to make the impacts that I want to make and that I see in my mind and that I visualize, couldn't do that under a helmet. You know what I mean? I just couldn't do that. I felt playing sports, not unless you're playing in the big leagues like the NFL or something like that, where you can kind of make a bigger impact and a change. But I said, musically, I can make a change from my bedroom. I can record something and put it out there, and you could like it, not like it. You could, you know, agree with my opinion, not agree with my opinion. You could hear something and be like, I've been through that. I can relate to that experience. And once you got to get that rush or that, you know, it was like, I'm hooked. And that really put me on my lane of going, hey, you know, music is what I need to do. And not just because it's what I love doing, but it's a vehicle for me to do other things in this lifetime, help others, like I said, work through my nonprofit and do work for the homeless, get a music school built out here. Music is that vehicle to do these other things. So if I didn't have it, I'm sure I'd be doing something productive, but I wouldn't be as happy as I am right now because I'm doing what I love.
Yeah, no doubt. Love it. Corey, what about you, man?
Well, where I'm from is in East Kentucky, and having grown up there when social media hadn't quite made the world such a small place, music was just something that everybody did. It was part of the culture, the whole aura of front porch picking stuff. That was real. So I grew up around some of the best musicians in the world like that. And fortunately, my parents were very involved in the educational side of the art scene in the region. Dad ran a performing arts center, and he was very active in creating programs that gave kids in the community access to multi-million dollar facilities that they wouldn't have had unless they lived in New York or LA. And here we are in East Kentucky, and we've got stages and access to all these things because there was a need for that, and there was talent there, and there was something you see in people's DNA back there that is unique to that area. So I was drawn to it, but I also had the resources around me to point me towards making it a viable business. I wasn't one of those kids who grew up with the parents saying, oh, you don't need to play music, you don't need to do this. I just always grew up knowing that it was possible. So I did a few things for jobs in high school, a couple programs that the music base, and I realized that not only did I want to do music for a living, but I couldn't not because I'm terrible at everything else, and I would be miserable to not just be sleeping, breathing stuff. I can do 18-hour days of music and feel energized because it just gives me so much joy and energy.
Appreciate you sharing that. Love it. This was great, guys. I appreciate you talking about your fatherhood journeys and, of course, the great stuff that you're doing with Concert for the Human Family. Of course, we'll put up links for that. We're going to do the lightning round. Word, you can go first, and then, Corey, you can follow. We got 5 questions for the fatherhood quick five. Here we go. Word, favorite family movie that you guys like to watch right now, what is it?
Home Alone.
Nice. Corey?
Elf.
Nice. Favorite family song, or is there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce them to?
Yeah, Eric B. and Rakim.
Oh, nice.
Our favorite family song is Return of the Mac. It's the nice. Whatever they're doing, I turn that on and they're done.
Oh, my God.
Mark Morrison, my man. Yeah. Love that. describe a perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Disney World, without a doubt.
Nice. Corey?
We got a bunch of cousins around the same age. So pretty much anywhere they're at is always a big old party. And the same stuff happens if we're at the beach or at a house. So anything has to do with the circus that we run. Nice.
First album you purchased, Word, what was it?
It was actually two. It was Run DMC, Tougher Than Leather, and The Fat Boys Are Back.
Oh, nice. Corey?
Nice. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Guys, you're killing this section right now. I love it. And lastly, Word, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
Purpose, perseverance, and workaholic.
Love it. Corey?
Funny, diligent, and caring.
Great three words, gentlemen. Really appreciate that. People, make sure you follow Word on Twitter at Wordsmith and on Instagram at Wordsmith Music. Follow Corey on Twitter and Instagram at Corey Caudill. Guys, really appreciate the time. I appreciate your story and what you're doing, especially here at the Art of Fatherhood. When you want to make sure that people are doing positive things in this world, you guys are doing that. And again, I know you guys are busy, but I appreciate you sitting down and chatting with me about your fatherhood journey. And I wish you guys continued success. And again, I appreciate your time.
It's been an honor. I hope we get to run into you out there on the road at some point.
Love it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Art.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.